Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the beautiful blue skies of North Lexington, even though it's oddly a little chilly out, so don't forget your jacket. But anyways, I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And you're listening to Bluegrass Bios.
And we are live.
Indeed
now,
we are.
I have no complaints now.
We are IRL in the flesh in the studio. Yeah. So, and with us is a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself, Josh?
Yeah, hello everybody. My name is Josh Nadzem, and I am with On The Move Art Studio.
Excellent. And you are the co-founder, correct?
Correct,
On The Move.
Yes,
excellent. Yeah. And who else up to you founded?
We have a team of artists and people involved, but the main co-founder with me is Kathy Working. Mm-hmm. She's a local artist and teacher and awesome go-getter person.
So first of all, props for the work that you do getting art out to the kids, because it's
Thank
a vital
you.
task, and I think art saved my life. So I'm sure some kids out there will without a doubt have the same experience.
Well, how did art save your life, Chuck?
Gosh, well,
be brief.
Yeah,
distill it down to about 20 seconds.
Well, let me just encompass my entire life in 26. I think it just allowed me a vehicle to express myself and express what was going on, and through that, other people also shared that they experienced the same things, and you know, you realize you're not alone in this struggle.
Yeah.
So that's for great. So can I ask you, Josh, how did On The Move get started? Well, first of all, what is On The Move?
Yeah, so On The Move Art Studio is a nonprofit mobile art room in a refurbished vintage trailer. We mainly go to underserved neighborhoods and host free arts classes for kids. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing that we do. We officially launched in September 2015, mm-hmm. so we're in our second year. The way it got started was a group of us really wanted to use the arts to reach at-risk youth and do something about a lot of the problems that we hear about, especially with youth and violence and different neighborhoods not having any sort of programming happening. So at first we wanted to start a community arts center. Mm-hmm. We thought we were going to, you know, start a big brick and mortar center.
Yeah.
But then we kind of realized, hey, we should just start something in the meantime. What if we take the approach of some people who want to start a restaurant? They might start with a food truck and work their way to a restaurant. So we started with a mobile art room. We said, hey, what if we just get something going to establish ourselves and work on some programming? And so we found a 1969 Streamliner trailer and we thought, hey, this could work. Kathy Working was like, you know, we should really try to turn this into a mobile art room and just take it to kids rather than having kids come to us and have to deal with a lot of the barriers of transportation. So it was in pretty bad shape, and we needed about $8,000 to renovate it. Mm-hmm. So we launched a Kickstarter campaign in November 2014. We had to raise $8,000 in 30 days, and it was very stressful, and I was freaking out a lot. about halfway through, I thought we completely failed. We had like $1,500 raised, and I thought, oh my God, this is embarrassing. You know, we're not even close. But fortunately, 140 people donated to the tune of about $8,200 to make it a reality.
Just in that last week?
Yeah, I'd say with about a week ago, I remember we were about $5,000. And I thought, we're so far away.
Yeah.
And with Kickstarter, if you don't hit your goal, you don't get anything. Mm-hmm. You don't get a single dime, which is scary.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my friends told me after the fact, they said, oh no, man, I was just waiting. I wanted to be the last person.
I was going to say, people do that intentionally. They do kind of wait until the last... I don't know what that is about people, but I've noticed that with every Kickstarter campaign, people kind of wait until the last minute. And your biggest challenge is to just remind people 7 days before, you know, your bidding or whatever you call it ends to, hey, I know a lot of you are waiting for the last minute because you're, you know, sadistic. But so reminding you, set your alarms.
Might also be like a cash mob mentality. Like people want to make sure, oh, okay, other people are supporting this, then I should too. This is something valuable.
Or just kind of saying like, okay, if they've got their money, you know, with all this time left, then, you know, I can donate somewhere else. So, they need $5,000 in 1 week. I better give. Give $20. I better give $40 or whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's motivating.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of those factors and all of it combined to make me sweat a lot and freak out a lot.
So was it just repairs for the Streamliner, or did you guys have all the art supplies?
No, this was just to renovate the trailer, and it was very beat up. So a lot of it went into the windows and the tires, the floors, replacing a lot of leaks.
Josh, where did you all get the trailer from?
We got it in Indiana. I believe it's called Peru, Indiana. Mm-hmm. This guy has a small business called Vintage Campers. Mm-hmm. You can check it out online. plug for him. And it was just perfect. It was about 4 hours away. Kathy went out to check it out. I went to check it out, and it all clicked. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Mm-hmm. Instead of us hustling and scrapping for, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of dollars it would have taken to find a building and deal with, you know, all the logistics of that, we thought, okay, for us as volunteers trying to do this in the margins of our lives, we could do this. This is challenging but manageable. Mm-hmm. So we got all fixed up, and then we started to float the idea out there, like, hey, everybody, this is what we're working on. This is what we're going to do. And then a lot of donations of art supplies started to come in. Okay. Then September 10th, 2015, we had a ribbon cutting ceremony in the Woodhill Community Park, and haven't looked back since. It's been booming ever since.
Well, that's awesome. That's phenomenal. And I think it's great that people came out and donated and saw your vision and thought it was a great idea and helped put it together.
Yeah, thank you. And that's what I think is that. It just shows so much about this community here in Lexington and the generosity of people, because ideas are great, but if nobody supports it, then it just ends up being just an idea floating around in our head. You know, if nobody gets behind it, especially with community work, mm-hmm. because as a social worker, I'm programmed to try to not be paternalistic, to mm-hmm. try to do things that the community wants, not that I think they need. So the Kickstarter, even though it can be stressful, is a good way to test this out. Like, hey, everybody, here's this idea. Would anybody actually support this? Mm-hmm. Because once we get started, we're going to need community support. So So is this legit, or are we just some hippies out here trying to, you know?
It's a performance art piece.
Yeah.
Well, where did the name On the Move come from? I mean, I think it embodies exactly what you're all doing.
Yeah, we just, as a group, there's about 10 of us, and we just had a couple brainstorming sessions and threw some names around and did some, you know, word association, and decided this was the one we were going to stick with.
Well, that's great. And so the renovations to the Streamliner cost about, what, $8,000?
Yeah.
That's great. So did you all do those yourself? Or
we didn't do the really intense, like, window replacing, wheel replacing. Vintage Campers actually did a lot of that, which is really helpful, because a lot of parts and maintenance of vintage campers are very unique, and mm-hmm. so it would have been hard to try to do that ourselves, but they already had all the tools, and they knew, you know, what tires to fit and how to put on the awning, stuff like that. But then we did most of the painting, the interior design kind of stuff, all that stuff that we could do.
Cool. And so your day job is as a social worker, right?
Right, yep.
Great. So it seems natural that you would want to tie that into this project as well, in some way of helping people.
Yeah. For me, it's the value of using art as the medium to reach at-risk youth and to provide programming for kids in low-income situations. It'll be great if some of them become artists, or mm-hmm. we untap a lot of skills and creativity, but bare minimum, it's just been a really cool way to connect with them and give them a space and time to just create. There's no right or wrong. They're just, sometimes we just paint, mm-hmm. and it's really powerful how quickly a lot of things start to come out, because they feel like, oh, these are adults that I can trust. I'm painting here. This isn't threatening. Mm-hmm. Let me start to tell you about my life or my family or the things that are happening to me. And that's been pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I have some friends of mine who work as school counselors as well, yeah. And they're into play therapy.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's kind of that idea of taking the walls down of like, this is a therapy session, you're gonna have to spill your guts,
yeah.
And making it more intuitive, more just, okay, let's just do something fun and create, and then through kind of the I don't know, cerebral creation is when the truth really comes out about what's really going on.
And when a lot of kids go into therapy, it's a very serious kind of thing. Oh, I'm going into therapy because I need to talk about things. And there's a little stigma attached to that. And when you're playing and when you're painting, then it's not like therapy and it's a little more playful and stuff like that.
Josh,
do you have any artistic inclinations yourself towards painting or sculpture or anything like that?
I'm getting better
working with the kids.
Yeah. So that's why collaboration is the number one
so thing. They're teaching you.
Yes. So that's why collaboration is our number one thing. I know my limits, and so I can, as a social worker, have seen the value of art and the way it can impact kids and the way it can help really everybody. So since I can't do a lot of the stuff that I would like to do, we partner with so many artists, especially Kathy as the co-founder. I feel like we pretty much balance each other out, her with the art background, me with the social work background, and we just combine the two. And
who are some of the artists that you've enlisted to help you guys out?
So Trisha Daly is one of our founding artists. She's been with us since day one. Jerry O'Hanlon, she has been helping us out a lot at some of our different sites. Alyssa Tremblay has been working with us a lot. Victoria Gress is another artist who really helps us out. And those are some of the main ones. Then we get some people. So those are like our main core artists who are always involved for some of our 6 to 8 week classes. Then we get a lot of artists who say, hey, you know, I'm pretty busy, but I love what you're doing. Can I help out one time? So the other day, Nancy Hall wanted to help us out, and we had a one-time painting activity with the Boys and Girls Club, and so she contributed on that, which is really cool.
Awesome. So Josh, I wanted to ask you kind of, why do you think it's important for kids to be exposed to art, particularly, you know, low-income children? Why do you think it's important to bring art to them?
I think it's really powerful. I think, as again, the social work background, as a social worker, we're taught to really try to advocate and work with marginalized populations, people who are pushed to the margins of society and are often neglected and kind of out of the playing field. And so what often happens a lot of times is if you're already in a marginalized population and then you're not good at the cool things, you know, sports, or maybe you're not the best math student, then you're even further marginalized. Then the chances of you making it out of your situation really start to go down.
It's true.
So one thing that I feel like we're able to do is offer this other outlet. And what we want to get into down the road is the entrepreneurial aspect of it. So working with kids so they can sell their art. So we can say, hey, you have a talent that people will pay you for. Mm-hmm. You could make Christmas gifts. You could make birthday gifts. You could do commissions and murals, and you could become self-sufficient strictly on the skill that you have. Mm-hmm. So just unlocking that creativity and just showing them that they can do it. Because a lot of times what happens is we start working with them and their go-to word is, oh, this is ugly, or I'm terrible, or I'm no good at this. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you haven't even started.
Yeah.
A lot of times I ask them, well, can you ride a bike? And they say, yeah, I can ride. I'm really good at riding a bike. I said, well, could you at first? And they said, no, I fell. Mm-hmm. And we say, well, that's part of the process. You couldn't ride a bike at first. Neither could I. We fell. And now look at you. You're doing sick tricks
popping wheelies,
you know. So that's a lot.
And then painting a portrait of you popping a wheelie.
Exactly. Yeah, it all comes full circle.
Oh, well, that's great. And so, what neighborhoods do you all serve here in Lexington?
We've been pretty much around
all
the whole.
Over the place.
Yeah. So a lot of what we do is our core stuff is 6 week classes where we're meeting with the same group of 10 to 20 kids for 6 weeks in a row, once a week. Mm-hmm. And then some of our other stuff is more pop-up stuff. A lot of organizations or churches or communities or neighborhoods will ask us to come for an event that they're having, and so we will come for that. So right now we're working with Urban Impact a lot. The really cool thing about that is when we floated this idea out there, Urban Impact approached us and said, hey, we have a lot of after-school sites, but we don't have an arts piece. We want to have an arts piece. Would you come? And that's been a perfect collaboration for us. We even applied for a grant together and got it.
That's awesome.
So that's been the really cool thing is not, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to be a resource for the community who's already, people are already doing great stuff. Hey, if you want some art, we can come. So right now we're working with, we go to Breckenridge Elementary once a week. We go to Winburn Middle School once a week. We go to Common Good, which is right up the road here, once a week. We go to some of the Urban Impact kids are picked up on a bus and taken out to Crossroads Christian Church. And so we go out there to meet them in their space to do an arts program.
Is that the one up north? Northern Kentucky? Or is it that local?
I'm just curious. Yeah, Lexington. It's off of Todd's Road.
Oh, okay.
Pretty far out.
Is there a schedule, maybe online, where people can find out where On The Move art instruction is going to be?
Yeah. So on our website, onthemoveartstudio.com, you can see a tab for how to get involved, or I think there's another tab for like what we're doing, basically. And you can click on a link, and it'll show you what we're doing. And it also provides an easy opportunity to sign up for volunteers. Because that's what we need a lot.
So if there's maybe an art instructor out there who would like to volunteer for you guys and teach kids art, they can sign up there?
Yeah. And the other thing we talk about, too, is I have a lot of friends who say, well, you know, I don't have any art skills. And we say that's not required. What I tell all of our volunteers is at the bare minimum, if you can just give a crap about these kids, that's all that matters. In this day and age, I think the most rare and defiant thing you can do is be present, because we're so glued to our phones, we're so distracted and multitasking that if you can come to one of our arts classes and just stand next to a kid and ask him what is he or she drawing and just let them show you, I think that's so powerful. So that's what we say is like, if you're an art teacher, great, we will make you lead an art class. But if you're somebody who just cares, just stand there and encourage somebody and let them talk to you. I mean, you could say maybe six words and they'll just go on and on.
Speaking of having your head buried in your phone, are you guys on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that?
Nice segue, man.
Thank you, Chuck.
Well done. So we do have the Facebook and the Instagram.
The kids get their pictures up on your Instagram page?
Well, we take a lot of photos. We've haven't done anything like that, but that'd be a great idea.
You go. Free of charge.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Well, just in case you're just joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. We're in here. We're in here with Josh Nadsom from On The Move Art Studio, and we're chatting about your movements, the things that are going on. So I want to ask you, how many kids do you all typically serve every week?
It varies. In our first year, we served 2,646 kids total in the year.
That's a tremendous amount.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been really cool. And so this year, based on the pace, I think we're going to probably double that. So typically, if it's a weekly session, it'll be 10 to 20 kids in a day. But then just the other day, we were at the Black and Williams Neighborhood Center off of Georgetown Road, and they had a spring break event, and so we were one of the sites kids could bounce around to.
Cool.
And so I think there we served about 65 kids.
Wow.
So it really varies. When people request us to come, we base our activity off of them. We say, you know, what would you like to see? Is there anything that you're interested in? Is there anything that your kids are interested in? Then we just ask for number of kids, how long we'll have them, and logistics like that. And then we plan something based on that.
So if some parents out there listening want to have you all come to their children's birthday party, can you all do that? Is it possible to kind of book On The Move?
Yeah. So that's been a really interesting thing, because that's been an unintentional thing that's happened. A lot of people have been asking us when we're out in the community if we do birthday parties. And it's been cool because it's a way for us to make this sustainable. So people are booking us for birthday parties, and the kids that are at the birthday parties aren't necessarily the kids that we are aiming to serve. Mm-hmm. But since the parents say they're willing to donate to us, mm-hmm. then it goes to support our free arts classes cool. for the neighborhoods that we work in. So that's been, it's becoming a really cool model, because instead of us always asking you for $5, $10 and begging, we want to make sure we can become self-sufficient so that we're not always relying on, you know, just begging people and grants that run out. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I think with 65 kids, I just know from working with kids, particularly with art, that things get a little messy. So yeah. I wanted to ask you about that and see how does that usually happen? Are the kids usually pretty well behaved, or is there just glitter and temper paint everywhere?
Yeah. So they are, for the most part, pretty well behaved. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. We've learned just what you just said the G word, glitter.
Yeah.
And we've learned the hard way, about when we can use glitter, because yeah. it's wild. I mean, we could just put glitter and glue and paper on a table and mm-hmm. and walk away, and they would not need another ounce of instruction, and they would just go crazy with it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think a few places have gotten jokingly mad at us. We go to the Village Branch Library once a month, and we did a painting activity, and this was my fault. The kids were asking for glitter, and so I brought in some glitter. Mm-hmm. And it got everywhere, like all over their
room. As it does.
Yeah, yeah.
It
does. Yeah.
It so. Follows you if you move. You just, like, I had glitter follow me across three states.
Yeah.
Once in three
days. Glitter is like a shiny amoeba. Just self-produces.
Yeah, yeah. No matter how hard you scrub or, you know, wash your clothes and you vacuum the rug, it's
omnipresent.
Still there.
So, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's cool. Yeah. Well, what do you think? Maybe we should take a little break?
Yeah, we can take a little break.
But nonetheless, we're here in the studio with Josh from On the Move Art Studio, and we're going to hear some public service announcements, and we'll be right back here in a little bit. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU FM.
This portion of Lexington Community Radio's programming is brought to you by Mulberry and Lime. Since 2001, Mulberry and Lime, located at 216 North Limestone Street in the historic Matthew Kennedy House, provides an eclectic mix of home furnishing and gifts with an emphasis on bed, bath, and table linens. Mulberry and Lime is open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6 and Sunday from noon to 5. For more information, you can call 859-231-0880 or visit Mulberry and Lime online at mulberryandlime.com. Lexington Community Radio thanks Mulberry and Lime for supporting true community radio.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, and father of five. I'm also an expert on drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids, and there's silly drama like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
And lead the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
The Lexington Fayette County Health Department provides confidential family planning services, providing birth control, pregnancy testing and counseling, pap testing, pelvic exams, and more. Services are available for uninsured. Appointments are available now. For more information, call 859-288-2483, option 2.
Tune in every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on WLXU 93.9 FM for Red Barn Radio, bringing you the best of traditional and Americana music produced right here in the great city of Lexington, Kentucky. If you're interested in coming to one of our performances, we begin at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays at the Lex Arts Performance Hall, located in Arts Place, 161 North Mill. For more information, you can find us on the web at redbarnradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you there soon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And we're here in the studio with Josh Nadsom, co-founder of On the Move Art Studio. And he's on the move.
Yes.
Here in the studio. So
I think he's rather stationary right now, Chuck.
Yeah, well, you know, to some degree.
Yeah, swivel
the earth is the earth is moving, Ben, so technically we're all on the move.
Yeah.
I mean, philosophical. Atomically.
Yeah, and tectonically.
No, well, yeah, that's true. Well, I digress. We'll get back to the topic at hand, which is on the move. So, Josh, I wanted to ask you initially kind of who inspired you growing up to find art, to be an artist?
Well, so for me, my personal connection to all this is, I talked about the social work aspect of like cognitively understanding how this can help kids and through my education. But personally, I've always wanted to start a nonprofit of this shape, because I grew up in a really bad neighborhood that had a lot of drugs and a lot of crime.
Where did you grow up?
Originally, I'm from a small town near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so it was the projects, you know, Section 8 housing, and just a lot of bad influences and not a lot of good stuff happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids I've grown up with have already passed away from heroin overdose. Mm-hmm. And then different friends have bounced in and out of jail. And my family has really struggled with a lot of addiction issues, a lot of mental health issues, just pretty broken in a lot of ways. So for me, I personally know what happens when there's no intervention, when there's no positive programming or influences happening. I can see the difference in the trajectory of kids that I grew up with. You know, at some point we all diverged, and you know, sometimes I feel guilty that sometimes it's just so random and lucky that I'm still here. We all started the same way, but yet I'm still here and they're not. So that has been my motivation to start this, is I feel like this is the one small way that I can try to ensure that other kids don't venture down that path when they feel very marginalized and feel like they have nothing to contribute to. Here's something you can do. Here's something stable and positive in your life that we can let you have, and it's totally yours.
Josh, what do you think got you out of that situation, kind of out of that rut?
Well, for me, there's a few things. My mother, you know, did everything she could. She's my hero. She had some things going on, but just her just sacrificing so much to create these opportunities for me. And my uncle Brad really stepped in when he noticed that I was struggling with a lot of things. I was a problem child. I was a teacher's worst nightmare. I was fighting with kids, getting detention all the time, getting kicked out of classes. I would lead our basketball team in points, but also technical fouls and ejections. Yeah. I was just
the real triple double.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't handle what was going on at home. I couldn't handle what was going on in my neighborhood, and I took it out on people. I was so furious at the world. And so my basketball coach, Coach K, Tom Karczewski, stepped in as well when I was growing up, and it was that stable, positive male influence that I needed. Mm. And it needed somebody just to provide some structure. So those were the two main things. And then ultimately, track and field. I ran track for UK for 5 years. Oh, wow. And so when I was in high school, I was football, basketball, track, and cross country, and track was my ticket out. Mm-hmm. And so I sent out a ton of emails to really any Division I coach I could find their email, all the big name schools. Got rejected by all of them or ignored by them, but UK said, "Hey, you might have a shot to walk on." Mm-hmm. And so that's all I wanted, was just somebody to give me a chance. And I had to find out where Kentucky was on a map. But that was 07, so I've been here for about 10 years and have no plans on leaving. I love it here.
Well, that's awesome. And do you see that in some of the students you work with, kind of add empathy, kind of you see yourself in them?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. Just the other day, you know, most of what we do is after school. So we come and at one of our sites, the adult there said, "Yeah, you know, I don't want to say his name, but so-and-so had a really bad day at school." And so I just sat and talked with him and was just asking him, you know, what was going on? Because I know that there's no bad kids. They're just really frustrated about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so he just started telling me about everything that was going on. He started telling me about how his father had left and how he was always trying to connect with his father. And And he said, you know, yeah, this one time I finally found my father's phone number, but then he changed his number. And just this...
Classy guy.
Yeah, right. And just this, that's what happens with kids, and that's what happened with me, is just this constant punch in the gut of rejection, mm-hmm. of feeling like you're not good enough, that your own parents don't want to be involved. Mm-hmm. And so he was telling me a lot about that, and so I would just listen, and one time I said, you know, well, that sounds like a lot, you know, how does that make you feel? And he said he would rather get shot in the stomach than feel the rejection that he gets from his father. And so I'm like, well, heck yeah, this kid's having a hard time in school. Like, how's he supposed to focus on algebra when he goes home to this? Mm-hmm. And so that's it. On one hand, it like really brings me down, but then it instantly picks me back up because I'm like, okay, we're going to do everything we can because this kid is really, really, really talented. Mm-hmm. And so I can connect with him that way. I'm like, man, I feel you, you know, this is rough. But it's my motivation for doing this.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about overcoming struggle and getting through difficult things that makes you an extraordinarily strong person who's able to lead, you know, able to reach out and kind of grab the hand of people after you've already climbed the mountain and pull them up.
Yeah, yeah, and it just takes a couple people to believe in you because if you can make it out, then yeah, you're strong and you're ready to lead and really tap into your potential, but the stuff that they're facing, when I hear their circumstances, I'm like, man, these kids are so, the deck is stacked so much against them. I'm like, they're so far behind when they even, it's like starting a race, everybody else is at the start line and they're 100 feet behind. I'm like, oh, it's just, it's tough.
Yeah. You know? But I'm sure the kids teach you a lot too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some things that the kids have kind of illuminated to you, shown you?
You know, one is just as adults, I think we're always afraid to make mistakes. Like if you ask me to do something right now, I'd say, yeah, I can do that. But this is my first time and yeah. I've never done this before.
For sure.
You know, like I immediately give away so that I'm afraid of you criticizing me. Mm. So I immediately give it away. I'm like, or we take pictures on social media, we post them and we'll say, hey, everybody have a good day. Please forgive my room. It's a mess right now. And don't look at my hair.
The ego.
Yeah. It's like we're afraid of criticism. And it's really cool to see some of our kids just jump into it. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They're just going to, this is my first time painting and I'm just going to do it. And, oh, that's what we're making today. Cool. Let's just do it. So it's really taught me a lot about vulnerability, daring, just putting yourself out there and just do it. And don't be so caught up in comparisons and afraiding to make mistakes.
Yeah. Do the kids ever ask you kind of what is good art? I mean, I know this is kind of this, you know, really subjective idea of good art and what's in a gallery and what isn't. And
Yeah. And so, and that's something we try to be really delicate with because it's this balance of when little Johnny makes something really amazing, trying to find a balance between praising him for his efforts, but then quickly the other kids will look around and then they'll look at theirs and be like, oh, well, mm-hmm. mine sucks.
Yeah.
So we, you know, sometimes they'll ask us that. They'll be like, is this good or mine's not as good? And we'll say, we're just focusing on the effort here. I mean, it's, you can't compare them because as long as you tried hard, it looks good.
Yeah.
And so does his and so does hers and so does everybody here. So we try to get them out of that whole comparison thing because it's not math. It's not science. It's not something where there's a concrete right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It's no, we gave you a little bit of instruction. Sometimes we'll say, hey, we're going to do some spring painting today. You know, give them a couple ideas. So one kid paints a sunset, another kid paints a bird. So it's not right or wrong. It's just all different and awesome.
Yeah. And I think the true value of art, you know, I think a lot of people who are critical of or want to cut funding for the arts or don't see any value in it is that, you know, the opposite of math and science, which are kind of concrete, you know, to some degree, is that art requires the person to self-reflect, requires the person to really ask, you know, who am I, whether they're doing it consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the real value in it. In the first dimension of it, but I think in the third is the catharsis of it, is that other people seeing it feel something from it, or that you know, it resonates with them in their experience. And so when you look at like Picasso's Guernica, you know, that's not a really lighthearted, that's not a painting you want to put up in your living room. It's about a bombing of a Spanish town. So you know, I think it says something more about us as individuals and as humans, and I think that's the real value of art, that I think some people who don't see value in the arts are missing entirely.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of ironic when we hear people wanting to cut arts and, and kind of look at it as if it's this silly babysitting thing. I'm like, well, you know, pretty much everything is art. Companies are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for somebody to design a logo for them,
right?
Which is art.
Yeah.
You know, the clothes that we're wearing.
Advertisers.
Yeah. Or books.
Yeah.
I mean, books have changed the world.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So right now, you know, if you have some skills, again, as an example, for creating a logo, drawing a logo, you are going to be rich. I mean, it's it's bizarre that our society, on one hand, is like, yeah, we need art for these kind of things, but don't realize that, oh no, it's like, hey, that is art, by the way. You just don't realize it, that it's rebranding, or that it's logo designing, or t-shirt making, you know.
Yeah, or music that you're listening to.
Yeah, it's all, it's all art, but you know, you don't like that label.
Yeah, it's like Marco Rubio said a while back, that we need more welders and less philosophers. I couldn't disagree.
Yeah, even Obama said something like that too, art historians.
And it's like, no, we need both. You don't have America without philosophers, without French philosophy. You know, and you don't have America without welders, so why can't we value both? So I'm glad that the kids are getting exposed to that as well, that you know, art is a valid form of expression and a valid, you know, vehicle to put your time into.
Yeah, yeah.
And Josh, what kind of materials does On the Move work with typically? Is it watercolors and brushes, or what do you guys get into?
We've pretty much done it all so far. Again, a lot of what we base it on is, so originally we were going to do everything inside our trailer, but then a lot of the requests we were getting from the community would have 40 to 50 kids. And so we quickly learned that we're not going to be able to do that inside the trailer. So a lot of times we go into schools, into churches, into or outside. So it'll depend on the space, you know, trying to do something that's not too messy. But we've done watercolor, just basic painting, canvas. We've done a little bit of clay. The dry clay.
Have you done any finger painting? That was my favorite when I was a little kid.
Finger painting. We've done some t-shirt designing. One of the coolest things is at Common Good, it was a perfect partnership where the kids there, Common Good, if you don't know, is an after-school program in the North Limestone area.
Embrace Church.
Yeah. So the kids there, they wanted to create an art piece to hang on the walls of their center. And so we connected with Common Good, and it's been really cool to see. Again, we're not coming in saying, here's what we're going to create for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we got the supplies and we can give a little bit of guidance, but what do you all want to create? So we work through their values and what's important to them. And so it's going to be cool that once it's all finished and done, it'll hang on their walls and they can have a lot of pride in it.
Is most of the instruction, is that in kind of painting what you see as representational, or do you get into a little more impressionistic? Because as much as I like to finger paint, I couldn't paint worth, like, if you asked me to do a portrait of somebody, you're going to get a stick figure from the side. So I like more just using colors and splash of colors. Do you do any instruction in things of that, or are they all just, do they want to paint what they see?
We try to do a little bit of both. We try to find this balance between challenging them, but once we start to feel like, okay, they're getting a little overwhelmed, you know, especially if they're younger, then we take a step back and let them have a little more free reign. Again, a lot of what we do is we're an after school program. So it's like, okay, you just went through 7-8 hours of school and instruction. Here's another teacher who's like, nope, don't do that. Don't do that.
Today we're drawing Abe Lincoln out of macaroni.
And if you do that wrong, you know, you fail. So we just try to feel for the kids and what they desire. So if we're there 6 weeks in a row, we might start out with one lesson plan for the first couple of weeks and then realize, okay, this isn't working. Mm. And so we will pivot and try something else.
Has a student done anything that's really unexpected that really just surprised you? You looked at and just thought, oh, wow, the kid drew this, or this is unique in some way.
Yeah, I think a lot of what happens is the most surprising will be the kids who at first are indifferent. And a lot of times it's cool to be indifferent, mm-hmm. especially once you get into middle school and, you know, a young teen. It's not cool to be...
Whatever, Josh.
Yeah, right, yeah.
If like, you say so, man.
Yeah, like, this is lame.
Yeah, passion is kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, it's nerdy to be really excited about something.
Absolutely.
It's cool to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really surprising when those very kids who at first have to dismiss it because they're too cool for this silly stuff end up creating really inspiring pieces of work. That's been the coolest thing is, you know, the kids who weren't the most eager or even talkative to see them come out of their shell in that way is really been very encouraging.
That's cool. And so, Josh, do you see this kind of expanding beyond just kids? Can adults, do adults come and participate, or can they?
Yeah, can you do a parent and child thing? Yeah.
Can Ben just show up at Crank and Boom and draw?
Yeah. I'd actually like that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That's been the really cool thing is a lot of times our stuff, whether they're adult volunteers or parents, you can tell that they're there and they're encouraging the kid, but you can tell there's this quiet eagerness, like, oh, man, like that's so cool, especially when we're painting on canvas and, you know, doing things that you can hang up. And so I'll usually say, you can create one too if you want. Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to show these kids up.
Yeah, stupid kids. Show them. No. So that's been really cool. So one of the things we do once a month is at Crank and Boom on the third Tuesday of every month. It's called Kids Art Day. It's an event between us, Crank and Boom, and Nourish Your Neighborhood. Mm. And so the dynamic with that is we're not doing instruction. It's more... any kid that shows up gets free ice cream, free art, and free food. And we are basically in the background, and we have the supplies, and we have the project of the day. But we want to empower kids and their parents or their guardians or the adult with them to work together to have that moment where we're just a supply table. Come on up if you need a suggestion. But they grab the stuff and then they go off in the corner and just create. And that's what we really love is empowering people to do it on their own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know with your day job as a social worker at a, you know, retirement community, do you see this model kind of applying to the elderly populations of Lexington at all?
That's my hope is that this is our second year. And right now, for the most part, we're all volunteers doing this in our spare time. And I think it feels like we've really scratched the surface of something big. And I can see us really expanding, especially to get into, a lot of art therapy. Mm-hmm. There's just so many populations that we could really get into, especially with kids who've been abused or seniors or people with brain injuries or veterans or, people who have been through sexual assault or domestic violence, anything like that. I think art has a way to open up and be therapeutic. The only limitation right now is time. Only 24 hours in a day, and it's been frustrating because there's so much more I want to do. But I know that as soon as we're able to raise some money and focus on this, I mean, we can really expand. I want to have 4 to 5 trailers going all over the place.
If somebody wants to donate to On the Move, where can they go to do that?
There's a few ways. You can donate online at onthemoveartstudio.org. We have a...
onthemoveartstudio.org.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so you can donate online there. You can mail a donation. Our mailing address is online, you can hear it from me now. It's 501 West 6th Street, Suite 250, Lexington, okay. Kentucky, 40508. We have a membership in the Plannery. So that's where we get our mail because we are on the move. And so I don't think the mail carrier would ever be able to find us. So that's where we get our mail.
If somebody has supplies, can they bring those by to you guys? Brushes, canvases, stuff like that?
Yeah, that's been a huge help.
What kind of supplies do you need? What are you lacking right now?
We really take anything. I'd say if anybody has any canvases, that's one of our most popular items that we need and can really benefit from. Mm-hmm. But you know, paintbrushes, paper towels, paper plates, paint. We have quite a bit of markers. So far, I think we're pretty
good. You're good on markers.
Good on markers. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because of donations, mm-hmm. Which we're very thankful for. But yeah, supplies, that's been really cool. Is the other day, a friend of mine, his mother passed away, who was an art teacher, and so he donated a lot of supplies to us. So it's, hopefully we'll carry her spirit on that way.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
So it's been really, really cool.
That's cool. And do you all work outside of Fayette County at all? Do you see you all kind of expanding? Like, I would love to see an On the Move on every county in Kentucky.
That's the hope. That's the dream. Especially, I think for us, it's really nice to get started in Lexington, get our feet steady, and make sure we can do what we're doing at a small scale pretty well, and then start to expand. Kathy has started having classes in Bourbon County. She has a studio called Art on High in Paris, downtown Paris. Mm-hmm. And so we've started offering classes to some of the at-risk youth in Bourbon County. We've done a little bit. We did one thing, an event in Shaker Village. I know soon we're going to Danville. And then in the fall, we're going to McCreary County. One of the most exciting things for me about this is it's all been by request. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, everybody, here's this idea. Here's what we have. We're a resource for the community. Everything we've done hasn't been us just rolling up into a neighborhood. It's been by request. Mm-hmm. So that means a lot to me that we're not forcing this on anybody, that we're just like, hey, you know, if you need us, tap us in and we'll come in and do some art.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you know, I think you all are filling a much needed void. In Lexington for sure, and props to have the insight to make it happen and to go out. I know the hustle's hard to go out and get something like this started and get all the supplies and, you know, have a streamliner that's totally renovated, totally filled to the brim with art supplies that kids can kind of go crazy with.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's terrifying sometimes when I'm hauling it.
Yeah,
because I'm like, look out, people, I'm hauling this and trying not to hit you.
I was gonna say, how do you all get the supplies secured in the trailer while you're moving it?
Well, we do have a lot of the original cupboards and storage, and I've learned the hard way that I can't have too much on our tables because they will slide off. Mm. So we've had paint that's exploded. We've had markers everywhere. You know, that's been a lesson learned. But for the most part, things are in the cabinets, locked up, and they don't move around too much when we haul it.
That's cool. Well, Josh, again, thanks again for coming in. This has been so great, and thanks for all the work that you do helping the kids out. And if you can let us know one more time kind of where people can get in touch with you and find you on social media.
Yeah. So we got Facebook and Instagram, just On the Move Art Studio. We have our website, which is onthemoveartstudio.org. You can send us a message through there if you want to get in touch anyhow. We need volunteers. If you want to volunteer, if you want us to come to an event, you can send us a message through that site. And my name is Josh Nazem. You know, I'm on the Facebook as well if you want to message me there. We can do that. And I look forward to just serving people the best that we can.
Cool. And do you all have any events coming up that you want to help get the word out about?
Yeah, we do. On the 16th at Third Street Stuff, we're going to have an event. They've chosen us to donate some of the proceeds of their sales that day and that weekend to us. So we are going to be doing a...
Is that Easter, the 16th?
It's Easter weekend, so the Saturday.
Oh, okay. Saturday before Easter.
Yeah, the day before, yeah. So the day before Easter, we'll be in the parking lot doing a free art activity for anybody who comes.
Cool.
Then,
may I suggest Easter eggs?
That'd be great. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Another one free of charge, Josh.
Thank you. All this consulting.
Ben, I think you should join up with On the Move.
I'm busy. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Sure. Love to.
Yeah. And then third Tuesday of every month, Crank and Boom, Kids Art Day. Again, where there's usually about 100 kids throughout the day, 5 to 8 p.m., drop in, drop out. Any kid that shows up gets free art, free snacks, and free food
ice cream. How can you go wrong?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's amazing. Well, thanks again, Josh, for coming in, man. I had a great time talking with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything else we didn't cover? Anything you'd like to talk about?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, it's just been thank you to everybody who's listening and everybody who supported this, because again, this was an idea that we had, but without people supporting and getting involved, it just remains an idea. Mm-hmm. So we are literally a product of the community supporting us, collaborations with so many nonprofits and community organizations and community leaders. We're so thankful for that, because again, it's helped us to not reinvent the wheel. We just come in and try to do what we can do, and everybody pitches in. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, and we're just trying to contribute in the small way that we can, and everybody else is doing their part, and together we try to help kids out.
Yeah, and it's just the beginning.
Just the beginning, yes. Yeah, look out. It's coming.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Josh. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And awesome. Nonetheless, if you're listening, the show will also be re-aired tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, and we're on lexingtoncommunityradio.org. We have the SoundCloud page, Lexington Community Radio SoundCloud page, and Bluegrass Bios on iTunes, and the podcast section of iTunes. That'll be up Sunday.
Yeah, but you can listen.
If I'm up and I get, whenever I get to it.
And Ben feels saucy.
Yeah.
But on Saturday at 11 a.m., the show will re-air. And as always, thanks again for listening in to Bluegrass Bios.
What's up next, Chuck?
Up next is Rice-A-Roni University.
Oh, good.
Our resident drag queen, Rice-A-Roni, will be coming in to talk to us about all the things happening in the LGBT community here in Lexington and beyond. But nonetheless, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy those blue skies out there.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. And
no, that's next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just getting an early one in, though.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we'll see you next week. Have a good one and take care. Peace.